I praise God for this opportunity, and also I praise God his protection in our life. And also I thank Pastor Sammy for this privilege to preach Word of God through Zoom meeting to you. Most of us says that Jesus is powerful God. Nobody like him. He is a glorious God, but most of the Christians says that Jesus is helpless, weak, poor man when he is going to be arrested and when he is going to suffer for the sinner. They will think, some people hang the photo of Jesus Christ on the wall, and when we see that photo picture, Jesus looks like an old man having rod and sheep, looks like very poor man. He can't do anything. He can't help anything. That picture looks like he won't do anything in our life. But when we see clearly the word of God, when he is going to be arrested, he is more powerful. The most of us influenced by these kind of pictures and movies and thinking wrong things about Jesus Christ, forgetting his sovereignty of his strongness and his greatness. Yes, he went through suffering. Situation looks like enemies are very greater than Jesus. How does he protect us if he is very poor, very weak, when we are in pandemic situation and our enemies is greater than us? Today, this sermon will help us to know Jesus' power, how much powerful he is. We can clearly understand through this sermon. The sermon will remove clearly your false thinking on Jesus at his cross, at his suffering. Open your Bible, John Gospel, chapter 18. John Gospel, Gospel according to John, chapter 18, verse 1 to 11. Verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over Ravin of Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. Verse 2. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Verse 18 says, so Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, I am he. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore, he again asked them, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way, to fulfill the word which he spoke. Of those whom you have given me, I lost not one. Verse 10. Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? When we see this scripture, this passage, this story, we can say that Jesus, the sovereign over his enemies, Jesus, the sovereign over his enemies, The theme of this passage, look at verse 1 says, when he went forth with his disciples over the ran of the Kidron, where there was a garden. When we see verse 2, now Judas also. Judas came with soldiers. Then, when we see verse 6, when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. They scared to the Jesus. They have seen the power of Jesus. They fell down. And see, verse 8 says, Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way. See, he is powerfully protecting the disciples. Look at verse 11 says, Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So he is going to take the wrath of God. This is not normal thing. He should have the power to bear the wrath of God. So according to this scripture, based on this matters, we can say Jesus is sovereign over his enemies. The enemies are not sovereign over Jesus, but Jesus is sovereign over his enemies. Three characteristics of Jesus that teaches about his sovereignty. Three characteristics of Jesus that teaches us about his sovereignty. The first characteristics of Jesus that teaches about his sovereignty is he is the in charge of his arrest. He is the in charge of his arrest. Look at verse 1, 2, 3. We can see clearly. Verse 1 says, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron. He went forth. He willingly went that place. He is in charge. Look at verse 2 says, now Judas also. We have to understand timing. When Jesus went that place, then Judas also came. So Jesus is in charge of his arrest. So two things that he controls as a in charge of his arrest. Two things that he controls. First thing that he controls is the place to be arrested. The place to be arrested. When we see verse 1, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden, in which he entered with his disciples. Jesus, dear brothers and sisters, listen carefully. Jesus decided the place. He decided the place. He went the Gethsemane. That means the Matthew 26:36 and Mark 14:32 says as Gethsemane. The name is not given Luke in John's gospel, but garden must have been located somewhere else on lower slope of the Mount of Olives. So Jesus has decided that he should be arrested at this place, not in temple, not in streets of Jerusalem, not in synagogue. He did not allow them to arrest him except in this place. Jesus is the in charge of his arrest. He is sovereign. He decided the place. He went there. Christ went to Gethsemane because it is a scheduled plan of God the Father. He could pour out his his heart to the Father and pray to the Father in privately. At this point, more significant on this night, he went there because he knew that is where Judas would look for him. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 53 says, while I was with you daily in temple, you did not lay hands on me. They did lay hands on him because he decided that place. He is in the control. The second thing that he controls is time to be arrested. Not only place to be arrested, time to be arrested. We can clearly see that says that he went forth. He went forth means he is going willingly. He knows what will happen. Then, verse 2, now Judas also was betraying him, knew the place. We know that Matthew chapter 26, verse 55 says, at that time, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out of its swords, clubs to arrest me, as you would against a robber? Listen properly, dear brothers and sisters. Every day, I used to sit in the temple, teaching you, and you did not seize me. He did not allow them to be arrested. This is the time of Jesus when he would be arrested by his enemies. He has decided his time when he has to be arrested. He did not allow them to arrest when he is healing miserable people, when he is preaching the gospel in synagogue, when he was celebrating festivals in the temple, when he was claiming that he is equal with the Father. They took a rod to stone him, to kill him, but he did not allow them because he is in control. He has decided the time. The Lord sovereignly arranged the time and place of his betrayal and arrest and suffering. All his enemies' previous attempts to seize him had been unsuccessful because his hour had not yet come. Brothers and sisters, John Gospel chapter 7 verse 13 says, they were seeking to seize him and no man laid his hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Nobody touched him because he did not decide it. Because he is a sovereign, enemies, over enemies, he is controlling everything. That's why he said, Luke chapter 22, verse 53, he said, while I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour, the power of darkness are yours. He is allowing the power of darkness to arrest him and to kill him. Jesus has decided. Brothers and sisters, do not think that poor Jesus, hopeless Jesus, he can't do anything. When we see the Passion of Christ, some movies, he looks like very weak person. But when we see, when we study the scripture, it is very clear. He is sovereign. He is willingly going. He has decided the time. He has decided the place. That is the power of Jesus. Read the Passion of Jesus or his cross work in the scripture. You will understand the power of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, Jesus died before Roman soldiers kill him. You know that he decided the destiny of people and salvation of his people. He saved the robber, thief on the cross. That is also showing his power. One person changed, who is the leader of soldiers, he also convicted he is really Son of Man. He has authority over his enemies. He is more powerful than Judas, any man, even Satan, who is in Judas. Second characteristics of Jesus that teaches us about his sovereignty is, he is the powerful to protect his own. He is the powerful to protect his own. Look at verse 4 says. Look at verse 4 says. So Jesus, knowing all things, they answered him. Verse 5. Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, I am he. Verse 6 says. So when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. See, we are seeing clearly that Jesus is powerful. Then I said he is powerful to protect his own. How can I say? Look at verse 8 says, so if you seek me, let these go their way. Verse 9 says, fulfill the word which he spoke, of those whom you have given me, I lost not one. Based on this all proof, we confidently says that Jesus is powerful to protect his disciples. He is more powerful than enemies to protect disciples, believers, his followers, like you and me. Three ways that he protects his own. Three ways that he protects his own. The first way he protects his own is by being in front of them. By being in front of them. Look at verse 4 says, Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, whom do you seek? He is omniscient, so he went forth. He is diverting soldiers from disciples so that he may stand before them and to go to the cross. A.W. Pink, he said that Jesus as a God not only knows whatever he has happened in past, and not only he knows present, God's knowledge of the future is as complete as his knowledge of the past and the present. And that because the future depends entirely upon himself. Future depends entirely upon Jesus as a God. He knows all things, so he is in front of them. He will be front of his people. Jesus, he is in front of his people. We can understand. When we observe this truth, we can understand clearly he is a good shepherd who will in front of his sheep. John Gospel chapter 10 verse 7 says, Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Idea is here, Jesus is in front of his disciples at the door. If any enemy want to go there, should cross and face the shepherd. That is the idea of door. Jesus is the door. He is in entrance. We are inside. So if any enemy want to cross, touch us, definitely they should cross the Jesus. Jesus is in front of us. That's why, brothers and sisters, Jesus is good shepherd. He is protecting his sheep. John Gospel chapter 10 verse 28 says, I will give eternal life to them and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Brothers and sisters, no one snatch you from Jesus. Any circumstances will not snatch you from Jesus. Even corona situation, pandemic situation, you are going to difficult situation, those things will not snatch you from hand of Jesus Christ. He is more powerful to protect you because your protection is based on Jesus' power, not on your strength. Your protection is based on Jesus' care and love. He is good shepherd. Even you can't run from his hand because you are in caring hand. Nobody snatch you from eternal life, even you are in most darkness. This truth will encouraging us. This truth will guiding us to have courage. Our Lord, our Savior, is being in front of us. Don't be afraid when you are going through difficult situations. Brothers and sisters, our Lord is in front of us. The second way that he protects his own is by affirming strongly his deity. By affirming strongly his deity. Verse 5 to 6, we can see this truth. Look at verse 5 says, they answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, I am he. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. See, we can clearly see here Jesus affirming his deity strongly. When Jesus said to those who came to arrest him, I am, they retreated and fell to the ground. Actually, cohort means 600 soldiers. 600 soldiers, the 10th of legion. The more than 600 people came to Jesus. More than 600 people came to Jesus. But when he said, when he affirmed his deity, they were fall down. Those who came to arrest him, he is indeed the one they are seeking, Jesus the Nazarene. But Jesus makes his affirmation of his identity by proclaiming his divine name. He proclaimed, John Gospel chapter 8 verse 58 says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Same thing he said. Jesus has applied to himself the divine name of Yahweh. Exodus chapter 3 verse 14 says, I am who I am. This is covenant name. He cannot change. Unchangeable God. Even we will change. People will change. Circumstances will change. But Jesus never changed. He makes promise. Definitely he will fulfill the promise. He is covenant Yahweh. He is proclaiming his divine name in front of enemies. This case, even his enemies to fall down under. They fear, they're scared. This is the reminder to believers that even this dark hour, Jesus holds ultimate power over his enemies, over power of darkness, because he is the one who bears divine name. Whoever sees Jesus, they will fall down. For example, John the Baptist, when he saw the Jesus, he fell down at his feet like a dead man. Isaiah said, when he saw the Lord of hosts, woe to me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, for I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Jacob saw Jesus, he said that I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Samson's father, he said that we will surely die, for we have seen God. These are all positive fears, saving fears. They reacted rightly, but in this case, they're scared. When they have seen the power of Jesus, they fell down. Jesus is affirming who he is. Even though he is Jesus the Nazarene, but he is exactly God. We should remember that. Even though he is going to the cross. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is Yahweh, who has divine name. So many false teachers, they say he is not equal to Father. He has less deity of Father. Father is greater than Jesus. Jesus is lesser than God. This is false teaching. That person will go to the hell who says that Jesus is not equal to the God the Father. Jesus is affirming he is not normal man. He said, I am. I am means I am the God. Remember this truth in your difficult situations, brothers and sisters. Read the books on deity of Jesus. Collect the books. Study the deity of Jesus, the power of Jesus. That time, when you are in difficult situation, the truth will encourage you. I believe God, who is sovereign. He is not a normal person. That truth will encourage you. Even though you are going to die, but the truth will encourage you. Because he is our God. He is our God. Don't look at your problems, but look at Jesus, who is powerful to protect from evil things. He is powerful to protect you from Satan's works. Look at the problem one time, but look at Jesus more than 100 times, 1,000 times. because he is great I am, you will get confident when you know the deity of Jesus Christ. See, third way that he protects his own is by commanding his enemies. By commanding his enemies. Look at verse 7 to 9. Therefore, he again asked them, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way. He said these words, of those whom you have given me, I lost not one. This is the fulfillment of scripture. Second time Jesus asked, I told you that I am he, identifying himself as the one they are seeking. Jesus also added, if you are looking for me, let these go their way. Jesus successfully diverted attention from his disciples by getting the soldiers and the officers, chief priests, that they are seeking Jesus alone, not his disciples. Even in this hour, Jesus still protecting, caring for his own. Can you see that? Giving himself upon behalf of his soldiers, behalf of disciples, by handing himself over to the enemies. Jesus ensured that his disciple went free. This is the great example of Jesus. Love, care, what Jesus will actually do for his disciples on the cross. He is going to do exactly same caring, same love on the cross. Before that, he showed, he protected them. That is the great example. He kept them from being arrested so they would not be lost. John Gospel chapter 6 verse 37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. Verse 39 says, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. He will not lose no one. He will save all his disciples. The implication is that if they had been arrested, their faith would have failed in that time. Imprisonment, even suffering, will be more than they could bear. Take away the disciples' faith. Therefore, he made sure that they would not be taken. Believers are weak. If they were not protected by Lord, they will fail. They will lose their faith. So Jesus, as a Lord, he is protecting his disciples. This is showing that the secure of believers is not depending on our ability, our strength, but on Christ. Our security, the salvation, definitely, it is depending on Jesus, not depending on our strength. Believers, never lose salvation because of our powerful Savior. Even though we are facing difficult situation, even though we are going to die, but we will rise again, we will live again, because our Savior is very powerful. He has strength to rise us again. This is the truth. He's protecting us, his own people. Peter said, Peter is the best example that he may fail in trust in Jesus if Jesus won't protect him. He did not arrest, but he was following after Jesus after that. He is watching everything. Three times he denied. Am I right? Three times he denied. I don't know about him. Because of suffering, these weak disciples will fail. Jesus, as an omniscient, he knows that these people will fail if soldiers will arrest them. Even Peter has seen many miracles. He has seen healings of many people from sickness. from demons and raising the dead, walking on the water, and who helped him to walk on water, listening all the teaching of gospels and seeing transfiguration. He has seen everything. He has seen power of Jesus, but he failed. I don't know about him. I don't know who is he. He said that. So Jesus knows that these people are weak. My disciples are weak. So he protected. Let these go their way. See, I want to remind that Jesus is not begging them. Please, please, please leave our people. He's not begging. He's commanding. He's commanding. What he's saying? Let these go their way. Let. He's commanding as a Lord. Because he is Lord over enemies, he is commanding enemies to protect us. To protect us. Praise Jesus, because he protected you so many tough situations so that you may not fail in faith. How many times you went through the suffering? That time Jesus protected you because so that you may not fail in faith. Jesus has done many times. Remember, brothers and sisters, how many times he had done miracles in your life. He protected you from dangers because he knows that you are not able to bear. Jesus is powerful. He has the capacity, the power to protect us. Third characteristics of Jesus that teach us about his sovereignty is he is the obedient to the Father for his own. He is the obedient to the Father for his own. Look at verse 10 says, 10 and 11. Simon Peter then, having sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And slave's name was Malchus. Look at verse 11. So Jesus said, Peter, put the sword into sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink? This is showing that the sovereign over enemies, because Satan does not want Jesus' death on the cross. If he does not die on the cross, definitely people will die in their sins. They will go with Satan in the eternal hell. He is trying to stop this work many times. For example, Jesus was saying that Son of Man must suffer many times and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests, the scribes, be killed and after 3 days rise again. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You remember that Mark Gospel chapter 8 verse 33 says, but turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked the Peter, said, get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. God's interest is to love his enemies for salvation. This is also showing his sovereignty over enemies. Obedience is not weak. When Jesus obeyed Father's word, take the cup, to drink the cup, this is very difficult situation. He has to bear all wrath. So, he is obedient to the Father. That is also his thought characteristics. Two attitudes proves that he is an obedient. Two attitudes proves that he is an obedient. First attitude proves that he is obedient. He is not willing to destroy his enemies. He is not willing to destroy his enemies. Look at verse 10. When Peter cut off right ear of slave, verse 11, Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into sheath. Here Jesus is saying to Peter, urgently, you stop. You put the sword into the sheath. This is command because Peter is very violent, judgmental, and taking the place of Jesus to judge, to protect Jesus. Because maybe he has seen the power of Jesus. These all people fell down on the ground. I can do anything because I have Jesus. I can kill these people. He's trying to protect Jesus by his own strength. But Jesus commanded, otherwise he will kill one or two people. He is very angry in that time. So Jesus is stopping. He is not willing to destroy his enemies. He is loving because he came another purpose. Matthew chapter 26, 52 says, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Legions means 6,000 soldiers. Total angels, those were sent by Father, if Jesus asked, more than 72,000. More than 72,000 angels will come if Jesus prays. How many peoples? One angel will kill many people. Because Jesus is not willing to destroy his enemies. For him, no need angels. Because he destroyed all human beings except Noah's family. Do you remember? And he destroyed all men and women in Sodom and Gomorrah, just except Lot and his daughters. The word is enough to destroy these all human beings, his soldiers. No need help of Peter. If he say one word, these all soldiers will die, but he is not willing to destroy his enemies. Jesus wants his enemies' salvation. He is patient to save his enemies. Ezekiel chapter 18, 23 says, do I have any pleasure in the death of wicked? Declares the Lord God. Rather than that, he should turn from his ways and live. We can't see Malchus' name in three Gospels, but we can see only John's Gospel. Some commentator says that the Malchus became disciple of Jesus. That's why John wrote that name. Jesus healed that person. He became disciple of Jesus. God saved some of them because of prayer of Jesus at Peter's preaching. They who said crucify him asked Peter, what to do be saved? What we have to do to be saved? They begged Peter. Those who cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus does not encourage to kill his enemies. He can, but he has patience and love to protect his enemies. What a savior our Lord is. What a savior. If he destroys his enemies, I think there is no Cornerstone Church. We don't need Zoom meeting. If he destroys his enemies, because we are all his enemies. We are all sinners. We are all living for us, not for God. We were turned from him. We are against God. We want to live our life as our Lord. But Jesus, by his love, the God by his love, he saved us through Jesus. He did not destroy us. He saved us. The second attitude that proves he is the obedient is he is willing to save his own. He is willing to save his own. Verse 11. Put the sword into sheath, the cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Here Jesus is saying that unique cup, one of kind, that undergoing violent death. Here Jesus is using figuratively this word. This is undergoing a violent death, drinking the cup of wrath and suffering. Those who undergo God's judgment drink cup of wrath, suffering eternal torment in few hours. Jesus accepted for us to give eternal life by taking our wrath on the cross. Observe this word very clearly, brothers and sisters. The cup which the Father has given me. Here, idea of this verb is emphasizing that completed action. That is, Father has given me. Father has given me suffering cup, the wrath cup. So Jesus is strongly emphasizing this. Before this scene, Jesus prayed to Father. Matthew 26, 39. Mark 14:36, Luke 22:42, he prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He prayed to the Father. The answer was given in this passage. That is no. Father said that he should drink the cup. You should drink the cup. So Jesus is saying to Peter, the Father has given me the cup. He came to drink the cup. So he raised the question, shall I not drink it? Here Jesus is asking question, which is real. He is commanding Peter by asking this question. This is talking about obligation, not optional. That is to drink the wrath of God, which was given by the Father. Brothers and sisters, he is obeying that to suffer eternal wrath instead of his enemies, like you and me. That is the great love Jesus has upon us. Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says, for if you, while you are enemies, we were reconciled to the God through the death of his Son. How we have peace with God the Father, the reason is through the death of his Son. He has to die. If you want to become child of God, if you want to peace with God, Jesus has to die. Through his death, we all became his children, his disciples, his child. We shall be saved by his life, Romans 5:10 says. We shall be saved by his life. Jesus gave his life to save us, to protect us. How much stupid we are, how much prideful we are, how much sinners we are, how many times we rebelled against God. But Jesus, through his love, through his death, he made peace with God and us. We have to remember. I have seen one video. Small younger brother was beating an elder brother. But elder brother is not beating. But instead of beating, he is giving hug and kissing. One brother, he commented on this video. He said that God is loving every day of my life like this, even though I hurt him many times. His love is encouraging me to love him. I agree that. But God is loving in Jesus because he has beaten him on the cross. When we are doing evil against God, why God is not beating us? Because he has beaten already Jesus. Do you know this truth? We are saved. We are saved because the God already has beaten Jesus. That is the cup Jesus is going to drink. Give thanks to Jesus because of he submitted to the Father to drink wrath of God. Maybe some brothers and sisters may sleep in Jesus through corona or other situations, other reasons, but they will not drink wrath of God. Amen. Even though they die, they will not drink wrath of God because instead of them, Jesus has taken that. Jesus lived, Jesus stand instead of them. Praise God and worship him. He made you child of God through even though you are enemy. This truth will give encourage in these days that even we suffer for little while we are safe in eternally. Whatever happens for us, what are the situation you are going to? What are the darkness you are in? But Jesus has taken your wrath. We have that hope. Jesus is obedient to the Father for his own. For us, he obedient. Otherwise, He can kill all people, but he is obedient. That he is also talking about his sovereignty. Jesus, the sovereign over his enemies. We have seen three characteristics. He is in the in charge of his arrest. He is powerful to protect his own. He is obedient to the Father for his own. I am challenging you, brothers. What do you think that? Jesus' death, arrest, suffering. Do you feel poor Jesus? You should remove that thought. Have a high view of Jesus in your life. Now we are in pandemic situation. Power, sovereignty of Jesus will comfort and encourage us. We have to meditate on that. Meditate on this. Definitely it will encourage us. Do not fear. We have Jesus, our Savior, whatever happens in our life. Charles Spurgeon said this, there is no attribute more comforting to his children than that of God's sovereignty. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe trials, they believe that sovereignty has ordained their afflictions, that sovereignty overrules them, that sovereignty will sanctify them all. The sovereignty of God, sovereignty of Jesus in our suffering encourages. Those are the words of Charles Spurgeon. When we know this truth, we will be comforted. God may bless us in this time. God may use us to live peacefully. God may protect us in this time. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are sinners. We are not good at all. But we are weak. We don't have any strength, Lord. Lord, if any problems come, circumstances will come, we will change. We will fail. Lord, you will never fail, Lord. You are our Lord, sovereign Lord. Everything is in your control, Lord. Lord, we are worshiping you, praising you for your greatness, for your powerful guidelines in our life, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. You protected us many times. Lord, you encouraged us in many times when we are going through difficult situations. Lord, you are Savior in our life, Lord. Without you, we cannot live. Lord, without you, we cannot have peace and life. Thank you, Lord, for providing all eternal life in our life. Lord, giving salvation in our life, saving us. Lord Jesus, we are worshiping you, for you took our wrath instead of us, a sinful man. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Encourage Cornerstone Community Church. Lord, bless them. Encourage them through these words. Lord, help them to have courage in this time to meditate on your deity all the time. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.